And we will come to the thrust of our message for today. It's about, as you can see from our bulletin, it's about eternity. Our elder Daryl Schaefer and I were talking earlier, and one of the things that Daryl mentioned, and I agree thoroughly, is that most of us don't think much about eternity. Even most Christians today do not think about eternity as much as we should. One of the reasons is that for many of us, not all, but for many of us, we're quite content with the way things are going for us right here and now. Another reason that we don't think about eternity is that the issues of eternity seem so far beyond many people that we just don't think about it. And when I say eternity, I'm talking about what, if you do some more study and research into this, is commonly called the eternal state. The eternal state. We are not looking in today's message or in this section of the Bible about the millennial kingdom. That's important, and we've studied that earlier in our series, but this is not the millennial kingdom. This is what is going to go on forever and ever and ever. It's what you read about, particularly in chapter 21. Well, even in chapter 20 to a limited extent, but particularly in chapter 21, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. All these wonderful things are on the way, and they are the things that are eternal. The millennial kingdom is here on this present earth. But this present earth and the present heavens that we know are not going to go on forever and ever. The Bible says that they are going to flee away, and no place was found for them. But the new heavens and the new earth are going to continue forever and ever. And that's what we're looking at today. And this is why I prefer to refer to it simply as eternity. This is what will be forever. And that's why I think it's so important that we understand these wonderful truths that are revealed to us here. And you've heard me say this before. I probably keep saying it till this series is over, and it will be over. I want you to understand we're not going to continue forever in this. But until this is over, I want to keep saying that this is the wonder, the glory, and we're just given a glimpse. Our Lord pulls back the curtain just a little bit and lets us see these wonderful things. But the truth is still there, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, as wonderful as this is, there's even more. I'm probably getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but Brother Bill Brantley, it just keeps getting better, brother. He and I talk about this after the service just about every Sunday morning, and as good as this is, as good as this fellowship is, it just gets better. It just gets better. And just about the time you think, boy, this is great, how could it possibly be any better? It gets better. It just keeps getting better. And I believe it's going to do that forever. He's going to continually make all things new. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. But right now, let's take a look at verse 10 of Revelation chapter 22. Christ controls eternity. Eternity is not something that just somehow comes about or happens, or it's not random. Everything is controlled, and it's controlled by a loving, benevolent Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is. But if you're looking at the outline in your bulletin, I want to just go over the outline with you for a moment. Two books predict eternity. Those two books are the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Two books predict eternity. Secondly, two groups share eternity. And those two groups are the unholy and the holy. And they are going to be there eternally. That's why it's so important that you be in the group that is righteous and holy. Because those who are the opposite are going to exist forever also. But it won't be pleasant. And so we'll say more about that in a moment. Number three, again, your bulletin outline. And I'm changing this, our bulletin writers gave in this outline what I gave them to give you, but I want to change it. Scratch out the word destinies. That's true. But what I want to really point out is the two destinations dominate eternity. These are real places. This isn't just a state of mind or something. These are real places. And these two destinations dominate eternity. So those are the three areas that we want to look at. Two books predict eternity. The first of these, and I'm going to ask you to turn there now if you wish, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Now, one of the reasons, and not just the issue of time, that we're not going to expound the 12th chapter verse by verse is that you really need to go back to chapter 11 in order to understand chapter 12 verse by verse. So, since we do not have time to do that, I am not going to attempt anything like that. But what I want to draw your attention to is what is said in verse 4. Now, the first three verses deal with the second coming of Christ and the establishment of that millennial kingdom that I talked about earlier. But verse 4 says this, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time." The book of Daniel was, by God's direction, sealed. And the words were concealed, if you will, until the end of time. Now, why is that such a significant thing? Well, I think it's significant because let's go back to the Reformation, roughly 500 years ago. People did not understand the book of Daniel. They really didn't even attempt to understand it. And so consequently, a lot of the reformers had no information for us from the book of Daniel. It didn't make much sense to them. Many of the reformers were anti-Semitic, and the book of Daniel is all about the Jewish people, Daniel's people, and promises to them. And so it just didn't make any sense. But you go back 200 years. Now we're talking about at least 2,500, maybe more, from the time of the writing of the book of Daniel until today. And let's think about 200 years. Let's just start with an easy figure. 2,000 years, roughly the time of Christ until today. What is 200 years among 2,000? Well, it's not a lot of time. But in those 200 years, people began to understand the book of Daniel. They had prophecy conferences. They said, this makes sense. This is what's going to happen. and you've probably heard me say this before also, some of the people that wrote knowingly about what was meant by the book of Daniel hadn't seen the things that you and I have seen. You and I have lived in an era with the restoration of the nation of Israel. But when people like Scofield and many of the others wrote their works, Israel didn't exist. But they knew it would because the Bible said so. And where does it say so? It says so in the book of Daniel. But Daniel was told to seal up these words. And the reason was because they weren't for his day. They were for the end times. And yet, now we begin to understand the things of the book of Daniel. That's one of the indicators to me. We're in the end times. Because these things have begun to make sense. And especially when you compare them with the book of Revelation. So, we're going to go back there in a minute, but I do want to take you... I really would love to expound this, but... sorry, but we don't have time. Let's just go to the last verse of the 12th chapter of Daniel. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. That's the word that is used there. The end of the time, the age in which we're living. Well, at the end of the age, he's going to rise again. But he hasn't risen yet. The resurrection hasn't taken place yet. He's at his rest. He's in the presence of his Savior. And you know, if I should die today, I don't want to cast this on you, but if I should die today and Christ hasn't come back, that's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to enter into my rest, and at the appropriate time, there's going to be a resurrection, and I'm going to have a new body. Finally, Daryl. finally. And yes, we're going to have these brand new, never decaying, never dying bodies, and... that will be a glorious thing, but I say it again, Bill, it just keeps getting better. So anyway, that's where we need to go now in the book of Revelation, because in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was told to seal the book. It wasn't for his time. Now we come to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10, and what do we read? And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." And when the Bible says the time is near, it doesn't mean that it has to happen today or tomorrow. It means that it can. It can. And again, I know many of you here have heard me say this, but I want to repeat it today. It could have happened when the book of Revelation was written 1900 years ago. This is the last book of the Bible in every sense. But it could have happened back then, but it didn't. And you know why? Well, I didn't get saved until 1960. And he was waiting on me. And I don't know when you were saved, but... if it was 1970, he was waiting on you too. His purpose was not complete until we were part of it. And so, this is the glorious truth that we have before us an unsealed book because he could appear at any moment. And that's why it's so vital, that you trust Christ now. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can't go back and change yesterday, and you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. None of us do. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. I say these words often in these voice tracks overnight for the radio station, But the point is, and you all here know this, every one of us is one breath away from eternity, from this state when things cannot be changed. Once you go beyond this present life, your destiny and your destination is fixed. You can't change it. And so, with that in view, I say what the Bible says, and that is, receive Christ as your Savior. Receive Christ as your Savior. I am coming quickly. The time is near. So don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, the book of Revelation. These two books, Daniel and Revelation, predict eternity for us. This is what forever and ever is going to look like. Second thing, two groups share eternity. And here we get into a section that has caused a lot of difficulty for a lot of people. So let's see if we can clarify this and give some comfort and a challenge to those who need both. Let the one, this is verse 11 now, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. And here are the two groups, and they're both found in verse 11. The unholy and the holy. These are the two groups, and these folks, all of us, are going to last forever. We're going to be here forever. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, the same way I know anything, spiritually speaking, the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me, right here in the book of Revelation, but you can go back to John's Gospel, see the same thing. There's going to be a resurrection for the just and for the unjust. Two separate resurrections. And the Bible says that those who are among the unjust, the unholy, the filthy, spiritually speaking, they are going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, don't blame me for this. This is what the Bible says. You go back just a couple pages in the book of Revelation, and it talks about two different human beings and one spirit being. And the two human beings are the Antichrist and his false prophet. And they are cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And that's at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Then at the end, before this eternal state begins, the devil is also cast into the lake of fire, and the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist and his false prophet, are still there 1,000 years later. And the Bible says they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, those who prefer the devil to the Savior have that same eternal doom in front of them. Those who prefer the Savior to Satan will also exist for eternity, but it will be for in righteousness and holiness. And that's why verse 11 of our text says that at this point in time, everyone's destiny is fixed forever. Nothing can change anything that's happening here. At that point in time, when the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem appear, when he makes all things new, you know, chapter 21 is where we read these things. And yet, the 8th verse of that chapter tells us that the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death, forever and ever. That's their part. There continues to be warnings. Don't be part of that group. Be part of the holy and the righteous. Receive Christ as your Savior. Because at this point, nothing can change. Everyone's destiny is fixed. Notice also now verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. You know, some of the rewards are not going to be pleasant. Those for the unholy are not going to be pleasant, but they will be rewarded for whatever they have done in this life. But so will the righteous, and those rewards last forever. What a wonderful promise. Be in the righteous and holy group, and you can do that today, but in that day, it will be too late. It will be too late. And so, we come to our memory verse. I'm going to close with this verse, but I'm going to say it again now. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's who our Savior is. Alpha and Omega, and I know most of you here already know this, but those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. This was written in Greek. So he's saying what we would say today if we said the A to the Z. I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the one who started it. I'm the one who's going to bring it to completion. That's a wonderful promise to all of us who are his children today, part of his family. So I really suggest that you memorize that verse. It's a great one. It's a great one to keep with us when we get confused, when we get wondering. And again, Brother Darrell and I talked about this earlier. Is anybody in charge out there? The answer, yes. The same one who's always been in charge. And he's going to bring it to a successful completion. Two destinations dominate eternity. The reason I changed that wording, and I mentioned this earlier, what you see in your bulletin is destinies, and that's true. But what I want to emphasize again is that these are two places. They're real. This is not a state of mind. These are destinations to which everyone is headed, one or the other. And basically, what this verse, these two verses are saying is, you're either in or you're out. There's no other option. There's no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. But this time, he starts with the insiders, verse 14. I am one of the insiders. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And I remember the night I was saved. And I got saved. And it was by grace, through faith, the same way that you got saved, if you received Christ as your Savior. But here's what he says. Blessed, this is verse 14, blessed, happy are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Happy. That's what blessed means in its most basic sense. So, do you want to be happy? Well, if you do, make sure that your robe, as we've read or sung Power in the Blood a little while ago, make sure that your robe is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's power in the blood. So, be happy and wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb so that you will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city. Now, I want to remind you quickly, that last time as we looked at the tree of life that is on either side of the river that flows through the middle of the city, we get concerned about statements like, for the healing of the nations, it's for our therapy. It's not, those who are in the New Jerusalem don't need to be healed of something that's wrong with them, and they don't need to be saved. They're already saved, and they're already perfect, but the tree of life is for our enjoyment. It's for our enjoyment of the wonderful things that are to be found in the city. And again, I remind you, we just have a glimpse of the wonders of the New Jerusalem and of the new heavens and the new earth. We just get a peek at these things. So, you may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. The New Jerusalem's gates are single pearls. They're immense. Well, if I'm not careful, I'll preach a sermon I've already preached. So we'll stop there, but I do want to point out to you, be among the insiders. In or out, it's one or the other. Verse 15 says, outside are the dogs. And by the way, the New American Standard here is precise to the Greek text. Outside are the dogs, not dogs generally, but the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, I have too. Will I ever tell another? I don't want to, but I can't honestly say I won't ever speak an untruth. Have I done that recently? No, not recently. But can I honestly say I would never tell another lie? No. But this is talking about those who love lying and who practice it, who do it all the time. And there are people like that. I know that we live in a day when it's very popular to say, well, you know, everybody's basically good. And when they do things that aren't very nice, they're kind of pushed into it or forced into it. And the theological term for that concept is baloney. No, they're not forced into it. They do it because they love it. My Bible quotes my Lord Jesus Christ as saying concerning the most religious people of his day, you can read it for yourself, John 8, verse 44. He says to these, and they were very religious, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not stand in the truth, but instead he abandoned the truth. He did not stand in it, but he was a murderer from the beginning. And further, it goes on to say, when he tells a lie, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of it. And the father of it. And so, who are these ones that are the sorcerers and the immoral? And by the way, do you have any doubt that it's talking about human beings here? The sorcerers are the druggies. This is the word that our word pharmacy comes from. And, you know, Bobby King and I can think back to this time, maybe some of the rest of you. My generation thought we discovered drugs. And, you know, we thought it was a great thing. We didn't discover anything. It's been there all the time. 2,000 years ago, there's this warning issued concerning people who take drugs. They took them to have a spiritual experience. You know, like LSD. Let's take this acid and will have this deep spiritual experience. Well, you'll have an experience, all right, but there won't be anything deeply spiritual, certainly not in the positive sense. And the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Who are the dogs? Well, I hate to have to tell you this, but this term had a very specific meaning in ancient times. It referred to male homosexuals. And that's true in both the Old and New Testaments. So those who are practicing these things are on the outside. They're on the outside. Now, here's my next statement, and we'll pretty much close with this. Can any of these people be saved? And the answer is they can today. And many are being saved. Whether you're talking about the dogs or the liars or the murderers or whoever, people can be saved today. But then, it's too late. Destinations are fixed. And these are places where the righteous and the unrighteous will go. The insiders will have eternity in bliss, in happiness, in joy, in the presence of the Savior. But the outsiders, and by the way, you may ask, well, what do you mean outside? Outside the new heavens, outside the new earth, outside the new Jerusalem. Don't think that these who are outsiders are going to be camped around the walls of your city. They aren't. They'll be so far outside that you can't even see them. But they're there. And that's where the lake of fire is. And that's where eternal doom comes to those who by this time have fixed their destiny, sure, and their destination as well. These are real places. The New Jerusalem is a real place. Just as, well, I say just as real as this desk, but frankly, I want to say it's even more real than this desk. And I'm not suggesting this is an illusion. I'm just saying that if anything is more real, it's the New Jerusalem, the new earth, the new heavens, than what we see around us presently. So, inside or out, it's one or the other. You can make sure you're on the inside today if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. He is. I want to be with Him, don't you?